In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, Isaiah said this, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." There is no searching of His understanding, or you cannot know the things He knows, the depth of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. What a comfort to be sheltered in the almighty hands of God. What a thought. What a powerful thought to think about. What all He can do and what all He has done and what all He is doing today. The wise man said this in Ecclesiastes 2 and 24, "There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." Sheltered in His hands, sheltered in His arms. That's what we are today. We're free from storms. We're free from stress, of daily cares. For we're told, Peter said this, "Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Do you realize that? Do you think about that? During the day you think, well, God cares about me. He cares when I'm tired. He cares when I'm weary. He cares when I can't sleep well at night. He cares when I'm troubled. He cares about me. Wait upon the Lord. What does that mean about those that wait upon the Lord? You ever wonder about that? Well, that just means preachers just to kind of sit down and wait for Him to come and do it all. And I don't know what it means. Have you ever heard somebody say, "We're going to ask you to wait on the table"? Waiting means readiness to attend or to serve. Readiness to attend or to serve, like waiting on the table, waiting on sick people, waiting on people that come to your house and you say, "Well, y'all just go ahead and eat. I'm on wait on y'all." That doesn't mean that they're going to just sit there while you eat. They're going to serve you. Get your food, pour your tea. They wait on you. And so when we wait on the Lord, we are doing what? We are serving the Lord. Agree? They that wait upon the Lord. And so as we have this Father that oversees all of our life, and as we serve Him, we're waiting on Him. We're taking care of His business with our life. A song that Brother Cecil Abercrombie taught us years ago, named "The World's Bible." God has no hands but our hands. God has no tongue but our tongue. God has no feet but our feet. To do His work today. And he goes on to say in the song, we are the only Bible the careless world will read. The world's Bible. We wait upon the Lord. We do His work in this life. Do you feel like you are? Yes, Rachel says, I feel like my life is about the Lord. You know what Paul said at the close of his life? The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And there wasn't any maybe or could be or possibly. Paul put a very positive statement because, of course, he knew what his life had been about. The same as you know, and I know what my life is about. If we're waiting upon the Lord. If we're taking care of the Lord's business. The psalmist David says, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. My soul waits upon God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock. Only God is my rock. Israel was told about God. And they were told, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him thou shalt serve. And in Him thou shalt cleave and swear by His name. Deuteronomy 10 and 20. Him only shall you serve as you wait upon the Lord. You serve the Lord. Put no other gods before you as you serve God. And then He said, they shall renew their strength. In centuries past, man has always tried to find the so-called, what, fountain of youth. We've heard about that. Who fostered Leon? Tried to find it. But we know that it has not been found. When President John Q. Adams was asked, how are you doing, Mr. President? This was his answer. He said, I'm fine. But this old house I live in is wasting away. The windows are darkened, meaning his eyes, of course. The walls are falling in. The roof is dilapidated. The foundation is giving away. I will soon have to move. And you know what? I'm getting to that age where, for aged people, I know what he meant. I remember seeing people get out of cars years ago and they would stand there for a moment. Got to get their balance I know why they did that. I understand that. I will soon have to move. But we have a brighter side than this life. In fact, the Bible tells us, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. Like I told y'all, it was here the other night, that last month, that Sue lost two nephews, within 6 days apart. You never know, when this earthly house will be dissolved. And you hear of it quite often, don't you? And like my mother said, and you've heard me say this maybe, the old will die, but the young may die. But Paul talked about that when he talked about this house the Bible's being dissolved, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. That is it. Say, well, preacher, that's why we have revivals, but they only come once a year many times. What does revival mean? Re means again. Bible means to live. Have you ever been revived? Do you feel like you need a revival? This inward man is renewed day by day. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be reading it, start reading at verse 23. If you want to follow along, we're going to read several verses here. Ephesians 4 and 23. And if I can please get you to notice very carefully tonight, this reading in Ephesians 4 and 23. And 23 says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, in Romans 12, if you keep your finger there, we're going to Romans 12. Paul talks there about, verse 2, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so how do I renew my mind? My mind is getting old. I renew my mind by study of God's Word. Okay. And so he says here in Ephesians, I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. My mind is rejuvenated by studying God's Word. I get closer to God, and to me, meditation is so important. And maybe it is to you also. So we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. And that you put off the new, and that you put on the new man. We're talking about waiting on the Lord now. We're talking about now, waiting on the Lord, renewing our strength. We put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, don't ever tell a lie. Remember what Revelation says? Who's going to hell? You remember that? All liars, that lie you thought you needed, you had to tell. You will be lost for telling that lie. And let me say, tell you something else tonight. If you are a liar, you will be known for being a liar. You know people, and they'll tell something, you'll be thinking, I don't know if I can believe this. Why? Because they told you something before. It just was not true. And when you tell somebody something, be as good as your word. You going to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning to go fishing or whatever? Be there. No later than 6. Leave yourself a leeway. So I'll be there between 5:30 and 6. Don't come dragging in at 6:30. Tell people the truth. Tell people what you will do and stick to your word. Like I told you, was here last night about that cousin of mine. And she's 78 years old. And her cousin that was older than her told her years ago, well, she's just a little girl, says, I'll trade you a doll with clothes for your tricycle. Well, he took a tricycle and never brought the doll with clothes. And there she is now. She's 78 years old. I've never met her. I've talked to her a couple of times. Never met my cousin. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. And she still, she said, you know what I remember about him? And she told me that story. And I thought, how tragic. Put away lying. Speak every truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then he says, be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why is that? Why would he say that? Why do you think he said that? I'll tell you why I think he says that. We have this tendency to forgive ourselves. Don't we? If we sleep on it, we feel better about it the next day. They had it coming. I got mad. I know I said some things I shouldn't have said, but they really had it coming. They've been mad too. Everybody gets mad. Everybody loses a cool sometimes, so it's really okay. So you kind of forgive yourself. If you do that, you feel better about it now. You slept on it, you feel better about it. Be you angry and sin not. He says you're going to get heated up sometime. But don't sin. Don't let the sun go down upon it. Neither give place to the devil. Remember what Brother Holmes said about that? I don't know if he used this verse of scripture, but remember what he said about the devil getting his foot in the door? And pretty soon he's in there stomping all around. A lot of truth in that, isn't it? Don't let the devil get his foot in the door. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor working with his hands, the thing which is good. Now this is interesting here what he says. Why you need to work? I need to work? Well, so I can feed myself, so I can have what I want. I can buy the things I want. But you don't really have to say a thing about that here. And notice what he says. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Wait a minute. What now? The him that stole still no more. But rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We talked last night about giving to others then when they're in need, not those that just won't work. They got work to do, but they won't do it. People that are in need, the people in need. He said, so you need to work so you can give to those that are in need. Now we know we got to feed the families. You don't support your families, then you're worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. And we know that. But he brings up something different, see? We're talking about waiting upon the Lord now, doing the Lord's business. And this is what Paul is talking about at the close of his life. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Okay? And then he says something else. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No evil communication. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Your word should be what? Uplifting. Shouldn't it? We know that. My words, your words need to be uplifting. I don't want to say things to tear you down. No, you don't want to say things to tear me down. No, you don't do that. Why do you want to do that? What does it do to tear me down? So why should my words be edifying? Why should my words be uplifting? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know what that means? It ministers favor of a spiritual nature. Okay? It ministers favor of a spiritual nature. Now hear this next verse of Scripture. I'm going to tell you something. Verse 30 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I do not remember ever reading this before in my life until I studied for this lesson. And maybe you have. Maybe you studied this. In fact, I called Harry back on the way up here tonight. What do you think this means? And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, I remember reading that part of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It talks about our conversation. And then he says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And I asked Sue when I read it, I said, what do you think it means? Let me see that. Whereby, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I understand that. Don't do evil things that will cause the Holy Spirit sorrow. Okay? But then he talks about being sealed until the day of redemption, until the judgment day. You ever thought about that? I never in my life, old as I am, I don't remember ever reading this. Well, I read it and I've studied it plenty of times. Well, I hadn't. But what does this mean? That we're sealed. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit because I'm in like a sealed container, we'll say, okay? Because when I was baptized, you were baptized, you were given a portion of God's Holy Spirit. And so that's part of your life. That's part of you now. And you have this seal upon you. And people know it by what? Just what we just read. You get angry, you don't sin. You don't use corrupt communication. You don't steal. You don't lie. You work to give to those in need. And that's part of God's Spirit within you. Okay? Now keep this thought. In Galatians 2 and 20, Paul said some powerful things about himself. Now think about this, what he said, Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. In other words, I'm dead but living. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay, so you have this Holy Spirit of the Lord within you, and it's exhibited by the way you live. And so you have this seal that you don't break. Okay? The day of judgment, you will have it. You have not lost this seal of the approval, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit. I told Luke, I said, it's kind of like this. We say signed, sealed, and delivered. Maybe it's an easy way to remember it, maybe not. But we signed when we are baptized. We are sealed by this Holy Spirit, and it delivers us on judgment day. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Whereby, he said, this Holy Spirit, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. We know what bitterness is. Wrath, anger. Clamor is loud, insulting language. We try to get louder and insulting language. You ever insult somebody with a loud voice? Do you think you're grieving the Holy Spirit? Do you think you're grieving the Holy Spirit? Brennan, do we see what he's saying here? As we wait upon the Lord, as we renew our strength, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, for malice is hate. And then he said in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know what Jesus said? If you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive. He's going to be just like you. What? If you don't forgive, he says, I'm not going to forgive you. If you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. And so as we have this Holy Spirit of the Lord within us, we put away certain things. We put away bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. And we're kind one to another. Isn't that a word that's not used or not practiced much today? Do you not agree that we're not as kind as we should be? We're in such a hurry. We're in the fast lane. People that get married sometimes aren't kind to each other. They got an edge in their voice. And they use a lot of clamor. Loud, insulting language. Thank the Lord don't hear that. Be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a savor, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Renew our strength. Renew our strength. Means turn from the old. This old decaying man of the flesh. These old decaying man of our lustful desires. And renewing the new spiritual man in Christ. Paul said in Colossians 3 and 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewal of spiritual strength comes to transformation, as Paul says in Romans 12 and 2. We're transformed. Let's go back and read that. Romans 12 and 2. And let me explain it more, a little bit about what he's saying here. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now that word comes from the word metamorphosis. The word transformed here, which is like, it's a change of one form of life to another, like the caterpillar changes to a butterfly, or the tadpole to the frog. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And friends, there's no substitute for study. There's no substitute for it. There's no substitute for it. You're not going to find a substitute for study. Because when you study, you're going to appreciate what the Lord has done for you. And when you appreciate, you're going to love. And when you love, you're going to serve. That's the way it'll work with you. It will affect your life as it affects your thinking. It will affect your life. And you will be in this seal that he talked about there. You know, Brother Harry told me about this verse. He said, you know, Will, I don't think I've ever preached a sermon on that. He said, what a beautiful, powerful verse. He said, I don't think I've ever preached on that. Well, like I said, I know I haven't. I don't remember even reading it before. You know, sometimes you read the Bible and you just kind of read through things that you're familiar with. Then sometimes you stop and you think, like this verse. And so we're sealed by the Holy Spirit under the day of judgment. We abide in His Word. And then he talks about, shall mount up on wings of eagles. God cares for His people. The psalmist David said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now think about what he said. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he satisfies your mouth with good things. You say, preacher, what's he talking about? Is he talking about that good food we have? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Has he not supplied you with good things to eat? Has he not supplied you with loving kindness? Tender mercy? Redeemed your life from destruction? Man up on wings of eagles. The Bible says the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is that strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I like that idea. We fly away. Don't you? I like that idea. We fly away. 70 is 20, 60 plus 10 is 70. It could be, he says, 80. It could be 80. But it's soon gone. And we fly away. And then he says they run and not be weary. Have you ever watched the Olympics of those long distance runners? It's really amazing to me that they can run like they do. And it's a demanding race. And in this same realm, we're running a spiritual race. It's also demanding. And it demands spiritual stamina. And Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He talked about the race that we run and referring to the race so people would understand more. The race. In verse 24 it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth to master his temperate in all things, now they do it Those runners do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, Paul said. I'm running a race, a spiritual race, not as uncertainly. He says, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. I just don't shadowbox, so to speak. He says, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection. Friends, this verse right here, verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9, I believe is the key to our salvation. That's my humble opinion. You keep under your body and bring your body into subjection. You've got to make yourself do things that are right. You can't go on with the world. But this is what's right to do, and this is what I'm going to do. It's like reading that in Ephesians chapter 4. There's some things you put off. There's some things you add to your life. You have this Holy Spirit within you. And like Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live a new life. I'm not the old Paul I once was, he said, Galatians 2 and 20. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not the same person I once was in this life. I'm not the same man. I may look the same way, only older, but I'm not the same man I once was. So he says, I keep under my body. I bring my body into subjection. I say, Paul, this is what you're going to do. And this is right, and you're going to do it. Run and not be weary. And that's why he said, when he's closed his life, I fought a good fight. I've run. I'm not weary. I'm not ready to give in to Satan. Stamina. Keep on going. As Paul also said about himself, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And friends, that's very important what he said, that my life is about pressing on. My life is about giving up or giving in or folding or quitting or laying down or retiring. I remember Brother Hunt saying that. I've never seen in the Bible where you could retire. Paul said, I press on. They shall run and not be weary. And then he says, they shall walk and not faint. The walk of a Christian today in the Bible is portrayed, the life of a Christian is portrayed as a walk. In Romans 6 and 4 it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, we're under this seal now of the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't let this seal be broken in your life. Have you broken the seal? Has the seal been broken by your sins? Has it been broken? Will it be sealed in the day of judgment? Or is it broken already? Has the seal been broken? Paul says, I therefore, the presence of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, Ephesians 4 and 1. That you walk worthy of this vocation wherewith you were called. He also said in Ephesians 5, since that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now what that means is, be careful how you live. Circumspectly does. Be careful how you live. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you watch. Be careful where you go. Be careful who you go with. Two kinds of people in the world, we're told. There are people that are poisonous, and there are people that are nourishing. There are people that are uplifting, and there are people that are poison. They're poison. Absolutely, they're poison. And what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications will corrupt good minds. It will happen. Be not deceived, he says. It will corrupt your good manners. We walk circumspectly. Not as foolish people. Not as fools, but as wise. He also said in Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Luke chapter 18. Jesus tells it's kind of an unusual story. Because, for years I always kind of had the opinion, if I ask God about it once or twice, He's not going to forget. I was assured of that. I knew that. So why keep asking God for something? But did you know Jesus tells a different thing in Luke 18? This is what He said. And He, meaning our Lord, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint or to quit. And here's the story, the parable Jesus told, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Okay? And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Go to the judge. What do I want you to do, judge? You give me some vengeance on my adversary. And he would not, the judge would not do what she wanted for a time, for a while. But after he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, okay, see the picture, yet because this widow troubled me, I hear this. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. You know what He's saying? You keep on asking God. You keep on telling God, asking God, this is what I want. I want to remind you, God, this is what I want. That's what Jesus Himself taught. Do you do that? You keep asking God. You know, Paul talked about it 3 times, thorn in the flesh. I guess he left off then. But he just didn't tell him once because, you know, Paul did. He remembered. Sure. Paul went back again to talk to God about his thorn in the flesh. He wasn't removed. God said, no, I'm not going to remove it. Talk to God. They shall walk and faint not. Let's read it again as I bring my remarks to a close. Book of Isaiah, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they, listen to this please, but they that wait upon the Lord, what's that mean now? They that serve the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What about you tonight? Do you serve the Lord? Why not tonight? Why don't you come tonight to be baptized? Why not tonight? No better time. It may not come to you again like it's come tonight. You believe Jesus Christ is God's Son? You're willing to stand before the altar tonight and say that, I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son? You're willing to repent of your sins? Why not tonight? Tonight you can be born again. You can have a portion of God's Spirit given to you. Well, most of us here tonight have been baptized, haven't we? But has that seal been broken? Just read about Ephesians 4:30. Have you grieved the Holy Spirit by your life, by your sins? Are you ready for your journey to eternity? Are you ready for your journey to eternity? Why not tonight? Won't you come? It's together we stand.